Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Manick. I am joined by Rich Rebar here on the last Friday afternoon of 2022. We're picking some games. We're just sitting here going through all of our dynasty teams right here, of course. Rich has a bunch of teams that are playing for a championship this week. I have a bunch of teams that are figuring out, am I going to take Bijan Robinson or CJ Stroud in 4 months? You know, very particular to our set of skills. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I did not watch Cowboys Titans last night. Like life is too short, man. Yeah. Life is too short.
Yeah. And you're a Cowboys guy. But yeah, I mean, I tweeted, just be flippantly, you know, tongue in cheek, defund Thursday Night Football when Josh Dobbs got announced as a starter. And like, I had a bunch of people was like, well, don't watch the game then. And I was like, okay.
All right. I won't.
people were triggered, but listen, if that's your joy is watching Josh Dobbs like look competent, I guess, compared to Malik Willis, then so be it. I saw a lot of people like Josh Dobbs looked better than I thought, and I looked at the thing and I'm like, it looked like Josh Dobbs is very good, but I guess very like not being very good is a step above what the Titans were putting out. So hey,
I had hopes. I don't want to say high hopes, but I had hopes for Malik. It's done. It's not happening.
Oh yeah, way cooked. Well, once he went in the third round, it looked pretty bleak.
Yep. It did. It did in fact look pretty bleak.
then you were like, all right, well, he went to behind Tannehill, and we know his contract's kind of an albatross. They'll probably get rid of it. But I mean, it's a wrap, man. They're not going forward with this guy. I mean, he'll have a shot maybe because if they go the veteran route, right? Like if they only bring in a veteran to replace Tannehill, he'll still be a backup and maybe.
Where's Ryan Tannehill going to be quarterbacking next year? What's your guess?
I mean, one of those teams like the Jets or Colts or something, right? Like probably.
Man, I went through this the other day, guys. The games are not very good this week, so we're stalling a little bit.
We're cold busting.
I went through this the other week. Let me see if I can find the list that I came up with. Okay. These are the teams who I would say are 90% or greater to have a quarterback next year, a different quarterback than the guy who started the majority of their games this year, right? Jets are obvious. The Titans, I think it's like almost 100% that Tannehill will be on a different team. The Colts, literally 100%, no chance. That Matt Ryan is their starting quarterback next year. The Texans, that feels 100% that Davis Mills won't. Mm-hmm. The Commanders, right? I mean, they tried. Maybe you'd say
the Raiders now.
Yeah, the Raiders, the Panthers, the Saints. I don't think they'll do the Andy Dalton, Jameis Taysom thing again. The Falcons, right? Mariota, mm-hmm. They tried that experiment, didn't work. Desmond Ridder. Ritter better than Malik Willis, but did not show enough to earn.
Well, at least to not put them off of it, like not entertaining adding a guy.
Yes, correct. The 49ers, right? Either it'll be Trey Lance or it will be, I mean, people are saying Brady. People will say I think the most likely thing.
Hypothetical
is Lance.
Though, let's run this scenario. 49ers go to the Super Bowl. They don't win it. They go with Purdy. Hell happens?
Doesn't matter.
To me, it wouldn't matter if I was the 49ers, but it's going to matter in the court of public opinion. And we know franchise.
I mean, this is going to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy is no different than going to the
Because you went
NFC.
To the Super Bowl with Garoppolo and you replaced him.
And you replaced him, and they went to the, they were like a fourth down conversion away from going to another Super Bowl last year with yes. Trey Lance on the bench, you know, like, so yeah.
Yeah. They were, if they go for that fourth down or Jaquaski Tart catches that Hail Mary punt throw that Stafford throws, the 49ers in the Super Bowl again last year, correct?
Yes. So I think it's completely immaterial. I literally think, I think this could be a Kawhi Leonard with the Raptors situation. I literally think Brock Purdy could win Super Bowl MVP and they would still have a different quarterback next year. I'd like actually believe that.
All right. Brock Purdy goes to the Super Bowl. Does a team trade for him?
Yes. I'll say the Denver Broncos trade a third round pick for him to be Russell's competition. That's my first take. So then these to me are the maybe teams. Those were all the teams that I would say 90-ish% level of confidence. The Patriots could be, so that could be anything from Bailey Zappe being the week one starting quarterback to Brady coming back to trading for Garoppolo to Andy Dalton. Just like, I think that the Mac Jones thing seems like it's not working. The Dolphins, whether that be because they don't, because the Dolphins are at a really interesting part of their developmental curve where they have to decide if they want to give Tua $180 million over 6 years. Right. And I'm going to guess they don't. Both because
they can tag him. They can fifth year it first. They already
Yes, you're right. You're right. They haven't yet. That, I looked at his Spotrac yesterday. I don't believe they have fifth yeared it yet, but you're right. They can.
They'll definitely pick it up at least.
Yes. So Dolphins probably sub 50%. I would say I would make Tua, I don't know, minus 180 to be the week one starting quarterback for the Dolphins.
Unless it's a health thing. Unless it's literally like doctors are like,
doctors say he shouldn't play. The Raiders, that's 100% now. The Broncos, I mean, what is it? He's got the largest cap hit in the NFL next
year.
It's
107, right? Does.
It's a Daigle tweeted. So Daigle tweeted the other day, he's like, we have a very finite amount of time on this earth, so spend your time thinking about something else. But I think his level of play has been so bad, and the team has a new owner. They're going to have a new coach. There will be conversations in that building about what can we do? Like, is there any way that we can get out of this? The Giants, people disagree with this. People say that Daniel Jones has done enough. I disagree. I everything they've done has not been because Daniel Jones is great.
So over the cap, if the Broncos wanted to cut Russell Wilson after June 1, post June 1, it's not the worst thing in the world if you just want to eat it. It's 39 for a year.
For Russ?
Yeah.
So basically, I mean, is that really any different than – so
like it's 107 if they cut him before.
But basically that is just saying we're not going to compete for 1 year, right?
2 years. It splits it in half. So it'd be 39 for 2023 and 35 for the next year, but that's it, right? I think you do that. I think you just fucking swallow it.
That's what I think. People, obviously lots of people like disagree with that logic, but I think he's been
In NFL history have we seen a guy at age 34 have Rogers, the season Russell
Rogers
Wilson.
Rogers is the only one
and bounce
back
around and
he's the only
back.
One
like not all these guys do this right like typically when death comes for you in the NFL it comes right like
so so Rogers went from
I just lived this with Allen Robinson personally
so Rogers went from 2015 to 2019 Rogers was basically I mean, 6.7 to 7.4 YPA. He did have one crazy touchdown season in there, but they were losing a bunch of games. Like Rodgers is the one who, and with Rodgers, you could argue it was a style of play thing and not that he himself was that bad. It was just like, he needed to change how he played a little bit. And he did, but yeah, I mean, you're right. When the milk goes bad, it doesn't unspoil. That's like my whole thing.
I mean, the NFL, especially like to hold on to like the odds, the probability that like, he's just going to bounce back seems pretty thin. And I agree. Like he probably will be better than he was this year. Right. But what does that mean though? Like he has to be.
Well, that's how the Broncos could psyops themselves into doing nothing.
Yes. Or
actually they could psyop themselves into doing something worse, which is trading extra picks, signing extra free to try and make the offense better. Right. Where they try and do these things to make the offense better and say it was Hackett's fault. Hackett was so underqualified, so bad there. No one could have been successful in this offense. It's not actually Russ's fault. Not good. And then
not good. There,
I had someone else. Oh, the Lions and the Buccaneers. So Goff's contract has an out this offseason.
Well, I would say the Buccaneers are a lock, man. Buccaneers ain't going back there to play with those guys. There's no way. I don't think Helen Keller could see the schism between him and the coaching staff, man.
Well, so what if the front office says, pick your coach, pick your offensive coordinator.
They did that this year, right? Kind of. Like, we don't know the whole story, but isn't that kind of the thing? Like, why Bruce Arians stepped back?
Well, maybe Brady said no Bruce Arians, and then you guys do what you want after that, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I was talking to Pizzuti, like, we're going to hear something, like, down the line, maybe 5 or 10 years from now, about this 2 years, this Bucs team, like, this or this offseason, right? Like, what the hell the truth? Like, there's a lot that we don't know that this happened with the Buccaneers the last, you know, what, 9 months between Brady retiring, unretiring, Arian stepping down, then elevating Todd Bowles to Leftwich almost taking the Jaguars job, then not. Like, there's – and then, like, what's happened through the course of the season, right? Like, man, there's a lot going on that we just have not been privy to.
Yeah, yeah. Brady's eventual unauthorized biography is going to be some fantastic reading, right?
I mean, for sure, like 100%, you know. There is a lot though, man. Like, there's a lot that's happened at the Bucs, and like, and I will say this to anyone that hires Dan Quinn, like, use Todd Bowles as a great, you know, conjecture to it. Like, Dan Quinn's in the job he should be. Like, Dan Quinn is an excellent defensive coordinator, and that's what he should be doing. As a head coach, we've done this. Like, don't Todd Bowles this thing. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just feels like there are so many ways to go wrong with head coach these days. Cause, like, I actually am starting to understand why teams, I think this Hackett thing showed why teams are so hesitant to give first time head coaches their.
But the Hackett thing is kind of like a one off because they did it to try. They thought they put their chips all in on getting Rodgers.
Yes. Yes, they really thought that was going to
happen. That's why that hire was made, and nobody can convince me it wasn't. Like, you know, and I think that it's pretty – but they put their chips in getting Rodgers, for sure.
Yeah.
And then Russ was the – and then Russ was what they ended up doing as plan B.
Yes, that is correct. All right, man, we got to do it. Let's pick some of these games. Let's pick some of these games. We just solved everyone's quarterback troubles.
Everyone's tuned out. They skipped.
Yeah. All right. Your number five is Hoomst.
I'm taking the Bengals just because I want to have a stance on this game. I don't think it's like a strong bet because it's a 1 point. The spread's 1 point. There's no value here. But I just wanted to have a stance on this game on the podcast. So I think the Bengals should be favored in this game. You know, at home, I think that they actually are a bad matchup for the Bills too. And, you know, watch Josh Allen just Superman this shit and it won't matter. But if you look at the
Bills, Josh Allen tried to lose to the Bears last week. He like did everything he could to lose that game.
I mean, it's been ugly for the Bills offensively. And they're, what's crazy is what's bailed them out is their run game of late, like them just being able to say like, all right, well, we're going to run the football. Like you look at like, they fall behind the Browns and then they just start running the ball. They fall behind, like the Lions give them hell on Thanksgiving and they run the ball. The Patriots game on Thursday night, they run the ball. Last week, they're losing at halftime to the Bears. They come out and just run down the Bears' throats. You're not going to be able to run on the Bengals. And then you've got Lou Anarumo, who's going to drop back and do his, you know, we're going to rush three with the spy, like they do against Patrick Mahomes all the time, and really just kind of make it so the Bills have to beat them in a way where it's not Josh Allen using his legs and not throwing to Stephon Diggs, right? And I don't think the Bills are like structurally like geared to kind of win that way right now. Like if they can't run the ball and they're not getting Stephon Diggs going, they kind of don't really have much. which is crazy to think about because they should be so much better. But that's really it. I just wanted to have a stance in this game. I think the Bengals are kind of a, they should be favored. So it's not, there's no value here though. I'm betting this.
Well, I'm rooting for the Bengals because Bengals loss, Chiefs beat the zombie Broncos and the zombie Raiders and the Chiefs get the one seed because so I am rooting for the Bengals, although that would be bad for all of these underdog playoff teams that I have. Cause I've been drafting obviously really heavy Chiefs and they would get the bye.
They get a bye,
but it's crazy. I mean, Ben Baldwin is like the champion of this, just like pointing out how valuable that bye is, like injuries.
And well, Mahomes has never played a road playoff game.
Is that true?
Yeah. The Super Bowls are his only road games.
He's so fucking good, man. It's crazy. He's never lost a road division game. How about that?
Yeah.
How about entering into year five of your career and never losing a road division game? I mean, he's unbelievable. People are going to be mad when he wins MVP too, which is like, it's like really, how insane is that?
He's only won one MVP too. Like, I don't know how there's fatigue. Like
people treat him like he is Michael Jordan and he's going on his ninth MVP or something. I don't know.
That's been like the big story so far, like leading in. It was like, oh, Mahomes is finally gonna have to go on the road in the playoffs. And it's like, well, Joe Burrow might actually help him out. Burrow's also playing awesome. Give the Bengals some credit. Like, so since week five, he's basically top five in yards per pass attempt, EPA per play, QBR, all against too high safety stuff, which was like the bugaboo stuff. Like, right? Like, they've solved this thing. Burrow's hot. I'm excited for this game though, because we've had a lot of Bills Chiefs games and they've been awesome. And we've had a lot of Bengals Chiefs games. They've been awesome. But this is our first Bills Bengals game.
I mean, imagine that. That's very bizarre to have all these Bills Chiefs games. And then, but imagine.
And Bills and Chiefs Bengals games. They've played three times in the last year. They played three times in 2022.
That's true. I mean, imagine Chiefs fans rooting for the Bengals, though. It's probably be the only time this ever happens. Yeah. All right,
it's a Monday night. That's the Monday night like championship hammer game too.
Yeah. All right. My number five is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers -3.5 points against the Carolina Panthers. And really, my take would just be this: one, Darnold, his EPA and CPOE stuff is crazy. And I think that's bleeding into these lines a little bit, but
easily really, explained.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. So my take would be one, I've seen this. How many fucking times have I seen this movie with Tom Brady? You count him out, you count him out, you count him out. This really is just a season long example of the Brady microcosm where he's down 10 points. You leave too much time on the clock and he ends up getting there. And I don't know. It's like my brain just can't make sense of Brady not kicking ass in like an absolute must win block spot. And maybe Brady is just, and that's just it. And it's over. The other thing that makes you feel confident about betting on the Buccaneers is when they finally stop running the ball, they actually can move the ball just fine. You've been making this point all year. Like when you watch Brady, guy can throw just fine. He is throwing to the running backs even more than he did in New England because he really doesn't want to get hit. But it's not as if when they just throw the ball 70% of the time, they can't move the ball. And I don't know. It just feels like the Panthers are just not going to win this game. And it's only 3.5. So I'm pretty much just treating it like we Darnold throws a pick six like he is wont to do and it's over. But not a high degree of confidence, obviously.
This game is funny for a couple of reasons because if the Panthers won, they still don't even a lock for the division. Like what if the Panthers won and then lost next week to the Saints, they still wouldn't make like, that'd be so NFC South 2022. If that happened,
it really would.
Yeah. The Darnold stuff's pretty easy explainable, right? Like the dude is literally playing in like a child sandbox offense. Like they're not asking me to do anything. 50% of his dropbacks are with play action. They've thrown the ball 38% of the time with him as a starter, by far the lowest rate in the league, 14% below expectation. And then he's just taking shot plays off those play actions. So he's 26th in completion rate since he's been there, but it's 16% of his pass attempts are on throws 20 yards or further downfield. And he hasn't thrown interceptions. So it's like, he's just taking shot plays. They're hit. That's why you get the high yards for pass attempts and it bleeds into the EPA stuff and the CPOE stuff, because when those plays hit. It's the Garoppolo law, right? It's the same thing, except for he isn't throwing interceptions like Garoppolo does. That's how you boost up those areas. That's kind of why people would push back on like EPA and some of those other metrics or quarterbacks, because these systems, when it's high play action, don't ask the guy to throw with high volume and they connect on those plays, they're really chunk plays and they're EPA boosters. And that's why he looks so good. But they're completely hiding Sam Darnold. You look at the games where they haven't been able to run the ball, they've gotten absolutely flooded. And we only have to go back 2 weeks ago when they had a home game against the Pittsburgh Steelers and ran for 21 yards and were never in that game the entire game, like against Mitchell Trubisky. Never even had a shot in that game. They were never even in it. So you just go down the Panthers game logs since Steve Wilks took over, and the games that they haven't been able to establish any kind of run early, they just get killed. So that's what it comes down to in this one.
Well, yeah. So I feel pretty good about that. All right. What's your number four?
My four is the Dolphins, man. I'm getting the greatest covering quarterback in NFL history as a dog. And I don't even think that Teddy's in a terrible spot, because one, New England's defense has been kind of like, they haven't been fraudulent. Like, they're a good defense, but like they're way worse than like the metrics show, because anytime they face like an adequate quarterback, they've been awful, right?
They
like,
just get flooded.
They haven't been good to the degree that they are versus, like, they've picked on so many bad quarterbacks over the course of the season, like Sam Ellinger, Zach Wilson twice. They had like a stretch where they played all those guys in a row. Mac Jones and this Patriots offense is just not good at all either on the other side. And then like Teddy's practice he's prepped to be the starting quarterback in one game this year. And it was the Jets game. And he got hurt. He got concussed the first play of the game. So like, we're giving him the whole week to practice. I think they're going to, that Mike McDaniel, this is going to allow him to do some different things than they were just doing with Tua, who hadn't really been playing well. And the offense had really just been like, are Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle to make a big play? Oh, they aren't. Then we suck. We're not going to do anything. I think it's going to force McDaniel to kind of go in the bag and recalibrate a little bit. And it could help them. I kind of like the Dolphins to still outright win this game.
So I can't have this on my list because, well, I don't know. Shit, maybe I should have put this one on my list, because I really do not believe in the New England Patriots, like, at all.
Yeah, I've been shorting them for a month and like I've been winning money. So I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they stink. I mean, we were just talking about Bailey Zappe being the quarterback of the Patriots next year. So
their touchdowns last week was a 3rd and 30, essentially a Hail Mary. And it was a good karma play. Like, Jacoby Myers deserved that. That was like instant karma from the week before. He stood up in the locker room, owned his L of throwing that pass to Chandler Jones. And then, you know, there were the deities rewarded him with like a tipped touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. I actually needed that play to get into a best ball final. So no harm, no foul there. All right. My number four is the Jacksonville Jaguars -4 points against
this
the Texans.
This is my one.
Cause I was doing, I did, I just got on the 538 like playoff simulator or whatever. And there actually is a scenario. It's kind of thin. It involves Buffalo needing to win next week, which is like, I think if Buffalo loses, no, Buffalo will still want to win next week to be the 2 seed instead of the 3 seed. I think even if they lose this game. So they're for the Texans yesterday truly didn't matter at all, but there is a scenario where the Jaguars can lose next week to the Titans and still get in if things break their way in just such a manner. And I think the market is treating that not true. So basically the Jaguars would really prefer to win this game. And you want to talk about like smoke and mirror stuff. Like, the Texans playing these teams close has been so unbelievable. Like, I think in the second half alone to get to overtime versus the Chiefs had to fumble twice, get 9 penalties for 9 yards. And they gave up a huge long special teams return as well. Like, it's just total fluke crap. I mean, the Jaguars want to win this game, and they're going to beat the socks off the Texans here.
Yeah, this is my one. I show it should be closer to 7. So I think I'm just playing the value side. And I just think the Jaguars are better right now. Anyways, Texans get, I think, are getting a little more juice because of how they played the last couple weeks. I think that's kind of bled into the line a bit. That's why you're getting a little bit of value. But and they lost, to be fair. The Jags lost at home to the Texans this year for one of the the Houston wins, one of their two wins. But I still like going back to it here. I think Lawrence is playing a lot better than he did early in the season. I think they found something with like how to utilize both Evan Engram and Zay Jones over the, like the final 6 weeks of the season, where they weren't really getting a lot out of those guys. They're getting they were targeting those players early in the year, but they weren't getting a lot out of them. And I know that they played Zay Jones and do shit in the rain, but I don't throw that out. Yeah. And then the Jaguars defense is like kind of quietly, like been kind of good at like pressuring the quarterback too. So yeah, I'm just here for it, man. And I think it's just a good line value game. And I think the Jaguars win by a touchdown.
All right, there we go. I'm on board. All right. What is your number three?
My three is the Lions. We're getting the Lions at home here, and it's this Bears team right now that just doesn't have a lot outside of Justin Fields running. And it sounds like Justin Fields is going to be okay with the foot injury that he had last week, but still, how much is he going to run at this point? I think it's still a big question mark. And if Justin Fields isn't running, then this offense just really can't do anything.
It's going to grind to a complete halt.
And I don't think the Bears are going to stop the Lions, and they didn't stop them at home outdoors. They're not going to stop them indoors. So yeah, I just think this is another one where I think it should be like eight. So I'm just taking it. I'm taking the value. It's not, like I said, I'm looking more at like line value this week more than I typically do when we talk about these games, because these games aren't good again. So
it's no, they're so bad.
It's yeah, the worst. It's like our first full slate of DFS since like week five, because like things have been getting chopped up to like these Saturday and Sunday slates, and like, and it's the still slate's not even that great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, I'm so, so
it's better than last week. At least last week coming in, I didn't even really want to play DFS like last week at all.
We gotta, I mean, when are we banning the cover too? I don't know. That can't even be the explanation. Like,
well, the weather stuff was such a thing last week too. Yeah. And it was just gross. The last week was like literally the grossest slate of the year.
Yeah. It was pretty bad.
I know a lot of good fantasy teams didn't make it. So that make me a bad fantasy player, because I had a bunch of teams move on too, but
you just had to have Dalton Schultz, bud. That's all you had to do.
Well, you needed Dalton Schultz now.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz to win $2 million. All right, I have for my number three, I have Arizona plus three against Atlanta. McSorley, gamer, dude. McSorley, and also, I don't
He's
know.
He's not starting, though.
Oh, is it Colt?
Yeah, Colt's back.
Okay, well, I don't feel nearly as good about this, but I'm gonna say this for Cliff. All Cliff needed to start taking the game of football seriously was to be completely and totally 100% eliminated from playoff contention. The Cardinals were straight up feisty in that primetime game against the Buccaneers. And
was that a Cardinals thing or a Buccaneers thing?
Oh, that's a good point. Really, really, I just – should Atlanta be favored by 3 points with Desmond Ritter starting?
No,
bro?
I mean, that is true as well.
I wanted him to be good because he's so fast and he had that crazy combine, but no, he's terrible. And also, the Cardinals figured out their best offensive alignment too, playing Dortch in the slot and not having the carcass of A.J. Green or Robbie Anderson out there. You know, I don't know. It feels like these teams are both crappy, so give me – the 3 points. And damn, I really thought it was McSorley, though. That is, I guess that's on me.
Yeah, listen, hey, but will it matter though? Colt just throw you a bunch of 6 yard passes to get you there.
So I think you don't have my number one on the list unless it's your number two.
I mean, I have 49ers.
Okay, my number one, I had the 49ers are my second as well. I've been really on them. But my number one is the do your Seahawks for, or do your 49ers first.
I mean, it's just simple. I've literally bet the 49ers like 4 weeks in a row, and they just keep winning. So I'm going to keep betting them. Obviously we're getting Jarrett Stidham too against this defense. Like, even if it hasn't hit 10 yet, and I think they win by double digits. This defense is just too good, right? Like they're, and all you have to do is have the point guard of Brock Purdy. He's playing a pretty good point guard right now. Yeah, it's Raiders defense is awful. And how are they going to score?
How are they going to score? Do they even care? How is Josh McDaniels going to look these dudes in the eye and being like, all right, you got to go to war with Jarrett Stidham.
Since week eight, the 49ers are plus 133 in point differential, by far number one in the league. They are number one in the NFL in turnover differential in that span. I mean, to me, yeah, easy game, man. I mean, it's not easy games. It's not. Laying nine has been terrible this year, but hey. We might not see like Josh Jacobs play a lot. We might not see Devontae Adams.
That was why I had it so high, even though it's 9 points, which is just like the 49ers don't care about this game. And in fact, it probably would behoove them to do poorly.
Oh, the Raiders. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the 49ers can still get the 2 seed technically, which obviously everyone wants because you get 2 home games.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the incentives are aligned for a 16-point 49ers win year. So my number one is the Seahawks. I don't actually think call me crazy. I don't think that Mike White has moved to this position of needing to be like a road favorite against a competent NFL team, which the Seahawks are. Like, yeah, the Seahawks defense isn't very good, and the Jets defense is really good. But also, like, so much of what Seattle does, it's like you could be the 1985 Bears. Like, if Kenneth Walker just gets one of these runs on you, you're toast. If DK Metcalf just I think probably the Seahawks offensive success rate will probably be poor in this game. Like, we probably won't see them go on a bunch of 10 play 80 yard drives, but that's not what the Seahawks are predicated on. Anyways, the Seahawks are predicated on these splash plays, and like Mike White, I don't know. It's like we have mythologized this dude to like an insane degree, you know, like we've been like, oh, Mike White, you know, he's the greatest ever. It's like, he's fine.
He's not Zach Wilson.
He's not Zach Wilson. Yeah. I just think this should be Seahawks by 2 and it's Jets by 2.
Yeah, I think that's fair. This game is stylistically is one of these, like what both teams are kind of their best at. Both teams are really great at defending. We started to see the Seahawks offensive line really start to catch up to them. They played pretty good earlier in the year, and then they've been really bad the last month. And against the Jets, that does scare me a little bit. Obviously, they've got the outside guys. They've been really good on the outside, not really like allowing these big plays. But he said, if, you know, DK is good enough to get one. On the other side, too, the Jets side, too, because what they're good at, the Seahawks are really good at taking out. Where the Seahawks are awful at stopping the run, and the Jets aren't good at running. Because they've also had 100 offensive line injuries throughout the course of the season,
and we did the Zonovan Knight thing, but now the Zonovan Knight thing is we've moved past it. He's fine. He's a perfectly cromulent running back, but he's not Bryce Hall.
And he wasn't any game that Michael Carter's played. He isn't running pass routes, which always was like kind of like a trap door for fantasy. Like Oh man, like this dude ain't running any pass routes. Like you can really the floor is low here, way lower than you're assuming, and it has been the past couple weeks. But even the Garrett Wilson stuff. The Seahawks haven't allowed a 100-yard wide receiver since week one. It was Jerry Jeudy in week one. They haven't allowed
that's
one.
That's insane. Is that it? I'm losing my mind at that stat.
Because I've been looking at it, because Garrett Wilson, DraftKings made him 5,500 again, and obviously the Mike White stuff people are going to play. But I think he's fine as a cash game play, but I think he's kind of a pretty easy fade in tournaments. Because the Seahawks they're not giving up any. They've only allowed 3 wide receiver one scoring weeks all season, and they've allowed 100-yard receiver since week one. I don't know if there's a huge ceiling there.
Elijah Moore is 3,500.
I think Elijah Moore is probably the better outright play. I think Garrett Wilson's fine in cash. And in season long, I would still start him, you know, as a wide receiver 2 or whatever. But I think he's gonna. Man, it's crazy to think about that though, right? Though like they. Yeah, 100 yard receiver. Jerry Jeudy in week one was legit.
That is legit crazy. Yeah. Unbelievable. All right. There we go, man. We picked some games.
Kind of a DFS take mixed in.
Yeah, we did what we needed to do.
Also, Jerry Jeudy pulling me right back in into the Dynasty Streets, man.
Oh, I couldn't be more in on Jerry Jeudy if I tried, dude. Like I was, because I spent all offseason being like, well, Judy's probably my least favorite of the Sutton, Jeudy, Hamler, Alberto, Javonte. Like I loaded up on all these Broncos, and because I was like, is Jerry Jeudy good? And I don't know. I mean, I think he probably is good, man. So, what can you do? Just imagine. Brock Purdy is quarterback of the Broncos next year, just slinging darts to Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, please.
What are we doing in DFS this week? I like this New York Seattle game. I guess before I realized that they hadn't allowed any 100-yard wide receivers since.
I still like some pieces in it. Like, I think Conklin's interesting. I think Elijah Moore is interesting for sure. I think on FanDuel, Kenneth Walker is like 6,700 on FanDuel, which is a site that's more optimal for him anyways. I think it's a pretty, we talk about the games maybe not being great for DFS, but there's a lot of good individual plays I think that are good this week. Running back is pretty loaded. I'm having trouble whittling my pool down to who you got. Okay. Cause like, I think ETN's a really great play. We talked about Kenneth Walker. We got the Brian Robinson, Tyler Algier, DeAndre Swift thing on DraftKings. They're all the same price. I think it's a pretty interesting week.
So I really like the Jacksonville dudes this week because I think the field will play it like the Jaguars don't really care. And maybe they'll decide in the second half they don't. But
ETN's burned dudes too. So like, I feel like ETN's a go-to this week.
And I wonder if similarly on the burning dudes path, if Ramondre burned people so badly last week that he gets a little bit lower owned in this. Like, I mean, we both are comfortable shorting the Patriots, but this is absolutely 100% you have to win this game if you're the Patriots and they're home favorites, and like Damian Harris isn't gonna play again. Like, where is Damian Harris, bro? Like
they were like, he's not gonna be on our team next year, so hey.
I guess shit. Is that so? Pick up all the Kevin Harris you can get in Dynasty. I guess
he's a free agent. Yeah, Damian Harris.
Okay, all right. Damian Harris probably going to be a Chief next year. I don't know.
All you have to do is go. Right. I don't know. Go to Damian Harris's game log. See who he had a good game against, and that team will probably sign him.
That is pretty much how it works. Yeah. Who do we think Damian Harris's best career game was against? I'm going to guess. I'm gonna guess the Jets. I'm gonna guess he just like absolutely Baltimore. So he had I was right. Most fantasy points in his career against the Jets. 14 carries, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 receptions for 7 yards against the Jets in a 54-13 win on October 24th of 2021.
Yep.
So there we go.
There it is.
How are you treating these ACL dudes in fantasy? This is really neither here nor there, but we have a couple big ACL guys next year. Javonte, Breece Hall. There's someone else. Who's the other guy?
Yeah, I'll probably be short on him. You know me. I mean,
Kyler. Kyler is the other ACL guy.
Yeah, and Kyler's like he's even had a surgery yet, so he's looking at basically like October. To be 10 month at the 10 month mark. I'm probably going to short him. You know me, I'm not one to buy into injury optimism. We talked earlier in the season. I said, I'm just not taking Godwin anywhere, and Godwin's been fine, but I don't really regret not taking Chris Godwin anywhere. Like, he's been okay.
But well, like, he would have buried you had he had this team been functional.
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
Oh, come on. He's Godwin. He would have buried you, bro.
I mean, listen, that's still part of it though, but that is in the range of outcomes too with the Bucks. You know, I definitely don't regret not taking Michael Gallup anywhere.
See, Gallup is the one who really burnt me, because I absolutely loaded up on that dude, and he has clearly not been as good as he had been in years past.
It's just from a top-down philosophy stance. I just don't play into injury optimism. Like, I'm just
Breece is gonna go super early in drafts next year.
I have Breece on a dynasty team, and I have him in a keeper league. That will be my exposure to him again. Like, it's a top down. It's just a philosophy, man. Like, I just, that's just the hill that's claimed so many fantasy souls. And yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go in and take a guy I already know that's hurt. Right. Like, I am not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is what it is. They're really good players, though. I think they're all.
I'm going to be
one tempted. Of those guys probably help. Like, one of those guys probably swings the league for sure.
I'm going to be tempted on Javonte, I think, because
he's going to go in like the fifth round, right?
I think when you adjust for what he's going to cost, both for like Broncos pessimism, the ACL stuff, I think there's a chance that you can get him as like your third running back on some teams.
Well, I think there's no doubt he'll be a third running back, maybe a low end RB2. Because he's never had a sample where he's been like the guy, right? It's all been projection. So going off of an ACL in the third year on a terrible team, like, people aren't gonna
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with you about that. But Breece Hall is literally probably going to go like the 1-2 turn.
And maybe going to go on the pup. Like, yeah, it's insane. Yeah, it's nuts. All right, man. Let's get you out of here. What can the people find? Are you in these playoff best ball streets? Are you grinding these?
I'm not, but I do. Sports betting is legal for me tomorrow.
Oh my god! Like big, I can big do day, dude.
So yeah, man. I'm flooding in all my offers. My deposit matches are getting out here, so I can make some of these bets on these college bowl games and bet some player props this weekend. So it's gonna be a good weekend, or probably it's honestly gonna be a terrible weekend, but. For the degeneratism.
Imagine you absolutely own the books the first weekend though. It'll be a great feeling. Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah, get on. I can't wait to bet. I've been dying because I have a bookie where I can bet lines and stuff, and that's been fine. Betting lines is one thing, but like I've been dying to like actually do like legit player prop stuff.
Yeah. You will do very well at that. Your fastidious nature and your ability to be non-emotional when wagering is gonna serve you. Very well. All right, everyone. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back next week. We going to do this for the playoff CM this year?
We did last year, right? Did we pick the games?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm down if you are.
I mean, I feel like the show in general, I don't know if so many people come here for the actual picks.
Yeah, we're surviving, dude. It's just for the vibes.
But people seem to really genuinely like this podcast. They always ask about it. I always get asked, like, if I'm going to do that, like, in the off season, are you going to do a show at Davis again? Like, are you, you know, we just kind of riff.
We're vibing. Yeah. All right, everyone. So I hope that the Kansas City Chiefs take care of business against the zombie Broncos. I'll be rooting for the Bengals on that Monday night, and we'll see y'all then.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.